Today is one of those sermons that needs to be preached, but I'm not really excited about preaching it. John Ortberg talks about something called hurry sickness. And sometimes we're in too much of a hurry. We're focused on things and getting things done and getting things started, and other things come up that are more important. He talks about the first shampoo that became the best-selling shampoo in America was the one that combined shampoo and conditioner into one. He said Domino's at the time became the number one pizza chain because they were delivering in 30 minutes or less, guaranteed, or it was free, until they got into all the car accidents and they decided that wasn't a good idea. There was a hospital in Chicago that even said, if you come into the ER, you'll be seen by a doctor within 20 minutes or your visit is free. And that the attendance went way up in that hospital. They said up 30% was their admissions there. McDonald's, why do we go there? Not probably because it's the best food, not because it's the cheapest food necessarily, but because it's what? Fast. And when it wasn't fast enough to go into McDonald's, what did they make? The drive-through to make it even faster. In the movie Chariots of Fire, have you seen that movie? Chariots of Fire. It's a story about Eric Liddell. And he was a Great Britain athlete who competed in the 1924 Paris Olympics. He was competing in the 100-meter sprint. He was a devout Christian. His parents were missionaries to China. And he was going to become a missionary to China as soon as he was done with his competitive running career. Well, it came up that his race in 1924 Paris Olympics was going to be held on a Sunday. And growing up in a Christian home, he believed in the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy. And so he said he would not compete in his race because it fell on a Sunday. It fell on the Sabbath. Many, many people tried to convince him that this was okay. God would be all right with him running on the Sabbath. And he stood firm to his conviction that the Sabbath was a holy day set aside for rest and reflection. He ended up, one of his competitors had won one of his races, and so he dropped out of the 400-meter relay or race so that he could compete, so Eric Liddell could compete in the 400, which is, you know, not quick math here, that's four times as long from the 100-meter. And he ended up running that race and winning a gold medal. Even after all the pressure to get him to change, he stayed the course, ran a totally different race he was not prepared to run, and won the gold medal. Now, how many people do you know are that committed to keeping the Sabbath holy? That's why I don't want to preach this sermon, because it's one that's like, really? The Sabbath? That seems so Old Testament. Maybe we don't have to worry about it anymore. And so we're going to look at the Sabbath today. We're going to look and see, what is the Sabbath? Is it about keeping a specific day holy? Is it keeping us, you know, what can you do on a Sabbath? What can you not do on a Sabbath? And is it more about keeping rules? Or is there something more? And this goes along in our series of being frazzled. And Jesus says, come to me, those who are weary and need rest, and you will find rest in me. And so the Hebrew word for Sabbath simply means cease or desist. Cease or desist. And the Sabbath originally in the Jewish culture was from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Now the first Sabbath we read about is in Genesis chapter 2. And this is what we read. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. So here we have an account of God, creating creation simply by speaking it into existence in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. So really, creation that we think of is the 6 days, but on the seventh day, he really created something special. He created rest. He created the Sabbath. And it's so important that not only is the Sabbath mentioned here in the second chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, he talks about it when he's giving Moses the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, it says this: "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." So we hear in this passage that the Sabbath was not just for Israel, not just for God's chosen people, but it was for everyone. The servants, the foreigners, it was for everyone. And the reason that it is established for Israel and the people to follow is based back in the creation narrative. It's based in the fact that God rested. And so because God rested and set that example for us and for them, that is where this tradition and this command is rooted. God set apart this day as holy. And in Exodus 31, I want you to pick up on this, the differences in this passage from the one I just read. "The Lord gave them these instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day. For the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. It is given so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you." Now listen to how serious this is for the Lord. This is how serious it is. "Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community." God's not messing around here. "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death." Okay, so how long do the people have to obey this law of the Sabbath? It says, "The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is a covenant obligation for all time. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed." Does this sound like something that God is serious about? What are the consequences for the Israelites for breaking the Sabbath? Death and being cut off from the community. It can't get much more severe than that. And he says that this is a permanent command. This is a covenant remembrance. This is not only a day of rest, as we may think of rest, but it's a day for the Israelites to remember what God has done for them. To remember the things that God has saved them from and rescued them from. In Deuteronomy it says, "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arms. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath." The Sabbath is not just about taking a nap all day. It's a day to remember what God has done. And for the Israelites, what they are remembering is that God brought them out and delivered them from Egypt and the slavery that they were suffering in Egypt. So the Sabbath is about rest, but it's also about remembrance. And the Sabbath is not just for a specific group of people. It is for all people. Further, in Exodus and a few other places, the Bible gets pretty specific. In case you didn't think this applies to you, it's how I read this, the Kevin version. For the farmer, this is what it says to the farmer. In Exodus, it says, "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest." For the salesman, It says, but if you do not listen to me and refuse to keep the Sabbath holy, and if on the Sabbath day you bring loads of merchandise through the gates of Jerusalem, just as on other days, then I will set fire to these gates. The fire will spread to the palaces, and no one will be able to put out the roaring flames. For the person working at home, it says, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day must be put to death. You must not even light a fire in any of your homes on the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath sounds pretty serious. There's a serious command here and serious consequences for not obeying the Sabbath. The easiest way to profane the Sabbath and to not obey the command of keeping the Sabbath is to treat the Sabbath as just any other day. Now, I know what you're saying, Kevin. These are all been in the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say? Are you on the edge of your seats? You're like, okay, now what? In Jesus' day, as we talked about last time, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were putting on rules upon rules of legalism and legalistic things that the people had to take on as their burden, and that caused them to be frazzled. And so when we look at Jesus' time, the people that Jesus was with and the people that Jesus was ministering to, they were frazzled because of all of these rules. And so Jesus talks about the Sabbath. And so turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 will be beginning in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Aha, Jesus! You and your disciples have been caught red-handed. You're breaking the law. Now we're going to do something to you. Jesus answered them, however. He said, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day, and yet are innocent? Do you hear the pointedness of these words? Haven't you read, Pharisees? Haven't you read this, religious leaders of the day? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. There's no response given by the people because there's nothing they can say to that. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Going on, verse 9, from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? This was one of their rules. This is one of their caveats that they said, well, it's okay to do this on the Sabbath, but as long as you're not doing this. This is one of those things that they said, well, this has to be okay. How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. So Jesus demonstrates here that keeping the Sabbath is more about the relationship that you have with Jesus than about these rules. He throws their rules right out on their heads. And what happens to the Pharisees at this point in verse 14? But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Jesus changes the rules here about the Sabbath, and the leaders did not respond well, to say it mildly. They have lost control of what they thought they had control of. And when people lose control of things, they tend to get angry. And this anger went so to the point that they were going to eventually end up murdering Jesus. So when Jesus is talking about this Sabbath and he's throwing out these specific rules, we might think, well, then that's okay. That's still, he just threw that out. But notice that what we don't see Jesus saying is we don't see Jesus saying, don't keep the Sabbath. What we see Jesus saying is, release yourself from these legalistic rules. Jesus is clarifying what is acceptable to do on the Sabbath. He's not destroying the Sabbath by any stretch of the imagination. He's actually honoring the Sabbath. He's saying, these are the kinds of things you should be doing on the Sabbath. You should be sharing the gospel. You should be sharing God's word. You should be teaching. You should be healing. You should be in relationship with Jesus on the Sabbath. Jesus is reminding us that the purpose of the Sabbath is not to become one more rule and one more obligation that we have to follow. He's giving us new meaning to this. And he's saying, this command, this Sabbath command, this is rooted back in my Father's time when he created the world. That's the foundation of the Sabbath. That foundation has not changed. So therefore, he's reimagining for us, if you will use that word, what the Sabbath is to be. And even in the Old Testament, we can read in Isaiah that the Sabbath was never intended to be a burden on people. It was supposed to be a day of rest and relaxation and remembrance and a gift from God. Isaiah 58 says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Sabbath is not just an Old Testament principle that we can say, oh, well, that's a nice one of the Ten Commandments, but we're just going to look at the other nine. Or if you're like some people, maybe the other seven. But it's one of the ten. It's one of the big ones. And when we look and see what it means for us today, Marva Dawn wrote a book called Keeping the Sabbath Holy. And she divided it into four different categories. And I put a handout in your bulletin. There's not a fill in the blank on there, but I just wanted you to have that. So when you're thinking about how you incorporate this into your own life. The first thing is, it's a day of ceasing. It's a day of ceasing. You're ceasing from work. You're ceasing from worry and anxiety. And most importantly, you're ceasing from trying to be God. Ceasing from trying to have ultimate control over your life. Because we know that that's a myth anyway. But on the Sabbath is a day that you consciously say, okay, I'm going to let God be God and not try to take over on my own. Second, the Sabbath is a day of resting. Resting physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. One of the authors that I read said that on the Sabbath, she specifically doesn't associate with certain people because they just cause her frustration. So she says, you know what? My Sabbath is not seeing you today. Now you're either thinking, gosh, that's mean, or you're like writing your own list of people that you're... Third, it says that the Sabbath is a day of embracing. And it's embracing our community. It's embracing one another. It's embracing who we are as people and our call and our purpose in the world. And then it's finally a day of feasting. A feasting on God through worship. Feasting on music and beauty and creation and even food and affection and celebration. The Sabbath is a time to set aside for all of these things. And worship is a great, worship service is a great way to start your Sabbath or spend your Sabbath. Because what does worship supposed to be about? It's supposed to be about God. It's not supposed to be about the amazing preacher at Hayes Christian Church. It's not supposed to be about the amazing music at Hayes Christian Church. It's not supposed to be about Hayes Christian Church at all. It's supposed to be about Jesus Christ. And part of the Sabbath is remembering what Jesus has done for us. Just as the Israelites looked back to their Savior saving themselves from God saving them from Egypt, we look back to the cross. And we look back to the cross and we remember that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And so when we slow down and we take the Sabbath day of rest and we remember what Jesus has done, we find rest in that. Part of rest is honoring the Sabbath. Part of becoming unfrazzled is honoring the Sabbath. Now, I know you were hoping that I would give you a list, right? Of this is what you can do and this is what you can't do on the Sabbath. But then we would be just like the Pharisees. Because it's not about rules, it's about the relationship that we have with Jesus. And you know, some people have crazy schedules. And so their work schedule is not going to allow them to take the Sabbath on Sunday. And I think that it's more important that we take that day of rest in our seven than as opposed to coming to the specific one day. Richard Foster says this, "The spiritual disciplines are intended for our good. They are meant to bring the abundance of God into our lives. It is possible, however, to turn them into another set of soul-killing laws. Law-bound disciplines breathe death." No wonder Jesus healed on the Sabbath. No wonder he constantly criticized the legalisms and restrictive rules the Pharisees inflicted on the people. Those rules robbed the people of the Sabbath's innate joy and freedom. Jesus was not downplaying the importance of the Sabbath as holy day. He was bringing to the Jews an understanding of what Sabbath was meant to be. The culmination of their week. The culmination of their lives. The goal that they gave for all time. A glimpse into eternity. When we will all be healed and fed and supported. Imagine how different our lives would be if we viewed the Sabbath day from this perspective. It was a pleasure, a day for experiencing the joy of fellowship with God, nurturing relationships with others, and enjoying the glories of God's creation. Can we be excited for a day like that? Can we be excited for a day of Sabbath? I think so. I'm being perfectly honest. I can get my head around the idea of Sabbath, but taking the Sabbath scares me to death. Because when I stop and I try to rest on that day, my other days are not going to suddenly become less full. But I have to take into consideration the fact that, you know what, God has a plan. And part of God's plan for me is to take a Sabbath day. And so I have to say, you know what, it makes no sense to me. And I am really not a person that likes to just sit around. And I don't think the Sabbath is just sitting around on your lazy boy watching sports. It's about relationship. It's about worship. So we've got to try. We've got to do it. We've got to say, God has said it. I believe it. And now I'm going to do it. And when we celebrate the Sabbath and really look at it as a celebration, we have to remember it's not only a day of rest, but it's a day of remembrance. Remembering what God has done for us on the cross. If God took a Sabbath, and he arguably has done a lot more than I have, and he found the time to take a Sabbath day, who am I to say, I'll pass on this one? Jesus says, "Come to me, those who are weary and need rest, and you will find rest." And one of the principles of finding rest is the Sabbath. I want to conclude this morning by reading with you a Jewish Sabbath prayer. And I want us to read this together. It'll be up on the screen. And I think it's on your handout as well. Read with me. Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride, radiant and joyous, comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts. Workday thoughts and cares are put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath light shines forth to tell that the divine spirit of love within our home. In that light, all our blessings are enriched, all our griefs and trials softened. Are you ready to take a Sabbath? This morning, during our invitation song, I want you to think about that. Think about, are you really going to take the whole Bible at what the Bible says? Or are we just going to take the parts that are comfortable? Just the parts that are easy? And are we willing to ask each other the tough questions? Hey, have you taken a day off this week? Have you been having a Sabbath day?
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.